Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by these great companies that are giving us money to let you listen to their stuff.
Bullshit, Kyle. We make this show. We make this show. You and me. Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by us.
Someone's got to pay the bills, Dan, because it's not our trading.
All right, roll them.
You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face. Was I supposed to say that?
Yeah.
Or was I supposed to act that out?
Hello and welcome to the China Shop. Step right in. Doors are open, wide open. Windows, they've been smashed. You can just crawl right in the window. Welcome, welcome. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me as always is Kyle, greaterfinancialineptitude.com. How you doing today, Kyle?
Doing good. How are you doing, Dan?
Fucking pissed off at the post office. That's what I am. I'm a disgruntled old man. Stupid post office. Anyway, yeah, I'm having a rough week.
All right.
Come on into the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, rage against the hedge machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way in a complete set of fine china, sharing our ever-growing strategies. Actually, I think they're ever-shrinking, Kyle. I think we're using less and less broad strategies. Showing our ever-shrinking strategies for maximizing gains and cutting losses.
All right. Ever-growing strategies for maximizing losses and cutting gains.
Yeah.
Feels like lately.
I haven't even been actively trading for the last couple of weeks, and I'm still managing to lose a lot of money. So, I feel like king of the world.
It's pretty impressive, Dan.
If you're new to stock trading in general, you should probably check out our Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com or one of our beginning trading episodes, because there is a lot involved with stocks and options, and there's just so much information that you're not going to pick it up on just this episode.
No.
So you can check that stuff out. We'll have all those links in the episode description. But best place to be is to join our Discord server. Kyle and I are on there every day, and it's really just an awesome place to be.
I was going to say, we're on there, but hadn't been very active the last week, so apologies for that, fellas.
Yes.
We are posting all our trades. We just didn't make very many last week.
Yes, yes, it's true. We did get called out by DJ Tequila. Like, hey, where are all your trades? They're in my mind. So when you do join that server, make sure to reach out to us. Send us your address either through a DM or an email. And we can send you a smash it yourself mug or shot glass straight from the China Shop. We're just so glad you're here. This place is always better with friends.
Okay. Now what?
Now what? Oh, we got some show news. Got show news.
Don't have any guests lined up. Trying to get something worked out with another podcast group. Keep you guys posted when that does come out or when we get something scheduled with them. Still trying to get that other beginner episode scheduled. I know the guy that we were lined up to talk to had some family issues, so he's out of town this week. So, yeah, just everything seems to be getting pushed back. Still working on trying to get those fellas from ChangeBridge over. I think they're still dealing with compliance. It sounds like they're as good at that as the post office is at delivering packages.
Are you sure it wasn't? They just listened to our show and they were like, whoa, we made a huge mistake.
I mean, that's maybe the compliance group did. They seem to enjoy us. let's see. Other thing is, I'm going out of town on the week of the 28th, so we're working on getting a guest host to fill in for that.
Oh, yeah. I know who gets my vote.
Yeah, wait to hear back from him, so hopefully that works out.
Sounds good to me.
You had something, too, to share with us, didn't you?
Did I?
I heard the answering machine was getting dusted off again.
Oh, shit! That is right! That's right, we got a voicemail.
Oh, my God. I thought I'd be trying for days to get a hold of this number, but I am not trading anything. This is Ryan, and I love you both, and I fucking love your podcast, and that's pretty much it. Keep it sleazy, my needies.
Well, Ryan, we love you too, and I will most assuredly be keeping it sleazy.
I'm very glad he was able to get through. Should we do something for the ninth caller? Do an old school giveaway? Ninth caller gets a free set of shot glasses?
I was going to say the ninth caller gets Kyle reading their voicemail message on their phone or a home answering machine.
I can do that. Just leave the message with what you want it to say.
Oh, no, you have to think of it.
Oh, I do? Oh, okay.
Yeah, got to be work. Also, it's got to be a risk for them. It can't be a prize. It's got to be a question mark. Oh, yeah. So, you know, some great show news. Love Ryan reaching out.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Ryan.
And love you, buddy. Does Ryan have shot glasses? A coffee mug? Does he already have them?
We did send him a mug. He was upset, though, that it wasn't smashed yet.
Okay. All right. Ryan, we're going to send you some smashed stuff in the mail. For sure.
I think there's liability issues with that, Dan. I don't know that we really should do that. I don't know if you can send broken glass to somebody.
You want me to send a box of broken beer bottles and coffee mugs?
No, I don't.
Well, you know, I don't know what Ryan's situation is. Maybe he's going to throw some tape on his hands, dip them in the broken glass, and go have a street fight. I don't know.
I mean, that's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, right. Well,
it's a Bloodsport.
Oh, let me fast forward. Reach out to us, 725-22 Bulls. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Maybe you want to dip your hands in broken glass and glue and have a street fight. Yeah. Anyway, this show's getting really long. We haven't even gotten anything.
I know, this is ridiculous. I think a lot of this is getting cut, though.
Yeah, we got a really just riotous,
rambling
show for you today. Lots of market moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than
I got it. Vanity billionaire space projects.
That's right. I don't think that Boeing is ever going to get up there.
No, Boeing is the one doing the worst too.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not enough eccentric billionaires running their company, yeah.
They need an eccentric billionaire, right?
Yes.
Good stuff. Yeah, so reach out to us, just like Ryan did. You can leave us a message or comment on Twitter, Facebook, Discord. Send us an email at 2bulls@financialneptitude.com. That's the number 2bulls@financialneptitude.com. Or the phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made, or maybe you're dying to be in a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. I already said all that.
Yeah, you did that one already. This is really rambling.
I was born to be a rambling man.
Bet.
Oh, the bet. The stupid bet.
Itching
okay,
for this.
So,
new tradition.
We have established a new tradition. Apparently, worst is first, is what they say. I'm first. I picked BlackBerry, and it opened the week at 10:25 and closed the week at 9:88, which brings me from 496.20 down to 478.29. I don't like the trajectory of my bet portfolio balance this month, Kyle.
You're still not last, though. My bet pick, though, cover this one first because it was awesome. Capital One, COF, opened the week at 164.84, closed the week at 177.73. Took my bet total from $511.06 all the way up to $551.02.
Yeah, well done.
I just kept watching that slowly going up a dollar a day. It seemed like it was beautiful.
Yeah, why didn't I buy options on your bet pick this week?
I know, I was kicked.
Like a fool.
We'll get to that when we get later into the show, but yeah, I was definitely not happy with myself. Random had OCFT, which opened the week at 528, peaked at 578, looked like it was going to do one of those things where, you know, the random just runs up 100% and
destroys us.
Yeah, fucks us for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
But then it just kind of fell off from there, ended up stopping out at 491. So random's now down to 472.66 from 508.28.
Oh, wow. 472.66. Okay, so I'm not in last place. Take that, random.
No, but we also had BB as our bet pick with George. That one's currently, as you said, 988 from the start at 1011. George's pick of SPXS when we started the bet was at 2206. It's currently at 2112 now.
Oh.
This one looks like a race to the bottom also.
Yes! Race to the bottom. Let's go! There's no real way to lose that bet with George, because the worst thing that happens is we just got to plug his shit that we plug anyway, so.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a friendly wager. No risk.
Joke's on you, George.
Yeah, we won as soon as you said yes.
All right, last thing to get through is poll results. Last week we asked how you classify cryptos, trying to give a hand to Mr. Gensler.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
50% said as a commodity, 33% as a security, and 17% had no idea. I was kind of surprised it went commodity.
Yeah?
I would have said security. But then again, I've been in the minority on every one of these polls I think we've done so far. I also said, fuck turkey bacon.
Kyle, out of step with America.
I need to get out more.
Okay. All right. Shall we move on to some news?
Oh, please, dear God, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be here for hours.
Hours and hours. Well, we all know why we're listening today. The sharpest person with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the fools and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are, it's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now, it's time for China Shop News. I feel like I'm a bear whenever it comes to the news, because I love sharing, like, you know, the bad inflation data and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I decided I'll share a bullish story, right? The headline on Bloomberg. Headline, Wall Street is the most bullish on stocks in almost two decades.
That's scary.
Yeah. Hey, what happened two decades ago, Guile?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So apparently about 56% of all recommendations on S&P 500 companies are now listed as buys. That's the most since 2002.
The stock, the indexes are in a weird position now where it seems like there's like five or six of like the heavy hitters of each of those that are like propping the entire industries up.
Yeah.
Like I'll see days where the S&P is going up, but like every single thing on my watch list is down.
Right.
And what's not on my watch list is Apple, Netflix, Microsoft, Facebook, right. You know, the FANG stocks.
Yeah.
Which are all doing quite well.
They are. In fact, one of the quotes from this article that I'd love to share with everybody, it's a, one more data point that shows the extent of the euphoria sweeping markets after a blockbuster earnings season.
Oof.
Seem to recall something about that word euphoria from the Trade Pro lessons.
Yeah, peak euphoria leads to the, that's the most dangerous time to be in the market.
Yeah, that's when you're feeling euphoric is when you should sell. Because things are about to turn and you'll go down and then you'll feel miserable. Once the price drops.
I think what that means is it's time to tighten up all your stop losses.
Yes. Yes. I wholeheartedly agree. I did an old reversal. The story was bullish, but my interpretation is bearish.
Such a bear, Dan.
I know. God, what am I doing in a China shop?
We're going to end up being like an Irish bar. It'd be the bull and the bear.
Hey, the bull and the bear. I should be in a stream searching for salmon.
My story started out good, but... not looking so great, too. infrastructure bill finally passed the Senate. This is the big bipartisan one, the $1 trillion budget or infrastructure bill that we've been waiting to get. But now the House, there's like 9 Democrats in the House that are threatening to derail the budget plan and the infrastructure bill.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm trying to see what the reason is. They will not vote on it until the $3.5 trillion social spending plan has been passed in the Senate. Okay, good luck with that. Oh, yeah, the moderate Dems won't pass the ambitious budget spending plan until the $1 trillion infrastructure bill passes. But then the left-wing progressives are saying they won't vote on the infrastructure bill until the social spending plan is passed in the Senate.
Yeah, that sounds like like our Congress and Senate.
Yeah, doesn't matter who's running it. Nobody can agree on anything, and looks like it sucks to be a government employee. So you're probably going to get furloughed again.
But Kyle, all the analysts' expectations for the stock market are up. Nothing bad can happen.
Something's going to happen. I don't know what. I don't know when. Always does.
Yes.
Nobody knows when. That's the key takeaway.
Yeah, folks, that's right. This is the analysis you tune into to hear. Here's the news story, and we have no fucking clue what that's going to have, what it means.
I have a prediction for you. The market is going to change. Okay. Well, let's talk about something we can actually talk about coherently.
Kathy Wood is still bullish on China. Not all of China, but she's publicly, and if you follow her ARK funds, she's still invested in some Chinese companies, specifically Chinese healthcare companies.
Hmm.
And if I pull up the story here, I can give you some actual numbers.
I am not bullish on China right now.
Yeah. So, well, to be fair, ARK Invest has recently dumped most of their Chinese holdings.
Right.
But she's kept the Chinese healthcare stuff that she has.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the biggest and best facilities in China account for less than 10% of the, 30,000 hospitals, but they do almost half of all the business,
because
it's where all the good doctors are. So everybody just goes to the hospitals with the best doctors and puts up the wait times, apparently. And so as Chinese healthcare gets digitized, she's saying that the Chinese healthcare market's going to be a $50 billion market as it changes and grows technologically.
Interesting.
I guess she's been a big investor in the U.S. telemedicine stock, like Teladoc Health was one of her picks.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought she was one of the, I thought I remember reading that too.
So she's seeing the same kind of stuff in China where tech companies are coming out.
I think with just whatever happened with the past year, the events of, everybody being stuck at home and then realizing how great it is to be able to do all this shit online and not have to actually go out and interact with idiots.
Yeah.
Any of those things are going to do well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go get a doctor's analysis remotely, sign me up.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a few telemedicine appointments where I was like, this is way better than going in and sitting at the doctor's office. Yeah, so Kathy Wood still bullish on Chinese healthcare stocks.
I mean, she's been pretty good for the last decade. Might be worth taking a look at.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think she just, sits in the dark and pulls these names out of a hat. I think she really does her research on the industry and the numbers, and she's a smart lady. What else you got for news, Kyle?
I've got one about Google. I posted this one to the Discord earlier in the week, and it still kind of rubs me the wrong way. Google's rolled out a new internal calculator to explain potential pay cuts to their employees who decide to work remotely.
Mm.
And basically, it's penalizing suburban staffers. So what they're doing is, let's see. So if you work at the Manhattan office, for example, and you live in Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people make that commute rather than pay the cost of living to live in Manhattan, which is one of the most expensive places in the world.
Yeah, or you could just ride the train.
Yeah. So those people who decide to work remotely from Connecticut are now going to see their salaries cut by about 15% if they choose to continue working at home.
Well, what about the people that live in New York City and decide to work from home?
People who still live in New York City, if they choose to work from home permanently, they will not have their pay cut at all. So it's all based on where you live.
But they're doing the same job.
I mean, presumably.
Presumably. You could have two people on the same programming team.
Yeah, it looks like it's a percentage cut of your base pay is what they're doing.
So, that pisses me off.
On the one hand, I can see, you're working remotely. I'm sure there's a productivity loss because just all the extra distractions you have trying to work from home. I mean, let's be honest.
Potentially.
If you don't have HR staring over your shoulder, you don't stop you from watching YouTube videos while you try to enter in those, or you try to debug computer code or whatever the fuck they do there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Guilty of that myself, watching TV while I'm working.
And then also, the person who decides to work from home is going to be saving a lot on commuting costs. But why should that come out of their pocket? Because what's Google going to save out of this transaction? I mean, presumably they have to rent less office space.
Mm-hmm. Less electricity.
Don't have to staff as many HR people. It's probably less, you know, probably less harassment complaints.
Oh, man.
I mean, if someone's working from home and you get hurt at home, I assume you're not getting workman's comp for tripping over your stairs. But you trip over the stairs at Google, then you're getting, you know, getting a paycheck to sit at home.
They're liable. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So Google's saving a shitload, I would think, just in the fact that the people aren't actually physically there at the offices, but yet they're still punishing employees who want to work at home. I don't know. It seems slimy.
Well, one of my least favorite things, and as the fellow classmates in my business classes are well aware, I don't like the trimming, like let's increase the bottom line by lowering labor costs, not by like efficiencies, but just by, well, we'll give them less benefits and pay. I always think that's sleazy.
No, oh, yeah. I mean, it's one thing you have to do it to survive. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. To survive.
It's another thing if you're just trying to, you know, make your bonuses another few points higher.
Fucking A. Google. Wow. Wasn't their whole corporate philosophy, don't be evil?
I mean, I think they lost that when they capitulated to China.
Right.
Anyway, well, this might make a good poll then, I guess, right, too?
What should Google's new corporate model be? Corporate motto be? Be no, less evil? Only be a little evil?
I was going to say how people feel about that. If you work from home, should you take a pay cut or not? Should your pay cut be based on your fucking cost of living on the location you choose to live? I don't know. It'll be something like that.
All right.
I don't know.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. Stay tuned on the Twitters. We'll have that poll.
All right. You got any other stories?
Those are my news stories for the day.
I've got one more.
All right. Well.
And it involves our favorite, Elon Musk.
Ooh.
The Elon Musk antidote of the week.
I need to get that its own theme song.
All right, so the SpaceX Super Heavy Booster 4 and the Starship Prototype Ship 20, when they're stacked together, makes 420.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and people are loving this coincidence.
Oh, coincidence?
Musk is claiming it's a complete coincidence and wasn't actually part of the plan.
That's fucking funny.
So there's... a fan, Austin Barnard, he's the one who made the initial connection. He also posted this little bit too. The booster height was originally 7 meters, but they eliminated half a barrel for manufacturing efficiency. So now guess what height it is now?
Oh, what height is it?
69 meters. 69. Oh, sorry, it was originally 70 meters. Now 69 meters.
69 meters. Oh, wow. Another coincidence, I'm sure.
So, does autism mean immature?
No.
Okay, all right.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, I love it.
I do too, but it's. I just think that's where we've advanced to in the blending of business and casual. I feel like in the 50s and 60s, if this thing came out, people would be like shocked. And it would be seen as a completely unprofessional business, and people wouldn't want to do business with Tesla because it wasn't professional. But now, like we're talking about working from home. People, you know, dressing fucking casual Fridays, casual every day in a lot of places.
Yeah, that's a good point. What would like a 1920s businessman think of seeing that picture of Elon Musk and Richard Branson before Branson's flight, and he's standing in his house with no shoes on?
Right.
you're in a picture with bare feet?
My God, what are you, a hobo? You
sell.
Hot crackers. This is a awful picture. All right. I think it's time to mention.
Yes.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by Sue Pullen, a Fairway Independent Mortgage and equal housing lender. Sue Pullen is a certified...
Speaking of business casual.
Speaking of business casual. Oh, yeah. Can I get some lounge music, Dan? Can you get some lounge music? Sit back, folks.
Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs.
Yeah, baby.
With over 20 years of experience, Sue has helped thousands of homeowners, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage. Yeah, you ladies know what I'm talking about. Sue will help. Licensed in 27 states, but not growing.
Reverse that mortgage.
Reach out and see what Sue can do for you. Just give her a call. 520-977-7904. You can even send her an email if you like. spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS 2289.
Casual realtors are just waiting to take your call.
Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. Reach out, see what Sue can do for you.
I just laugh myself lightheaded.
One of these days, she's definitely pulling her sponsorship.
I know. Hopefully it'll be
hot crackers. You boys are making a mockery of my business.
Oh boy. Okay. Two bowls and a China shops. Also proud affiliate of Trade Pro Academy. Trade Pro Academy.
Oh, professionals, yeah.
I should say.
They know how to get it done.
With his beard and his Canadian tuxedo, definitely oozes professional.
Yes.
Trade Pro Academy's educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. Translation, yes. You can learn like the big institutions. They've got a great staff of highly knowledgeable, successful traders. There's no better place that Dan or I have found to give you everything that you need to be a successful trader. Find them online at tradeproacademy.com or just use our affiliate link in the episode description. As we get a commission from anybody who signs up using that link, it's a great way to support the show and improve your own knowledge and skills.
Yeah.
Again, that you can find them at tradeproacademy.com or just use that episode, that affiliate link in the episode description. In fact, we prefer to use that one because, you know, we want to get paid too.
I just like them because George broke our window coming into the shop last week. And any guy who's willing to smash the shop itself is welcome in the shop. Just saying, just throwing that out there. Anyway, let's move on and let's talk about you know, getting rich overnight or some shit.
Something.
It's never gonna happen.
You say you want a ticker that wins. The bell just rung. It's time to get in. Ups drive us wild. Drivers crazy. The bulls are shouting, bulls are always shouting. I wanna get rich overnight and profit every trade. I wanna get rich overnight and profit every trade.
Kyle, I'm still just sitting on my AMC and BlackBerry positions, and I've got that SOXS position. That's it. I'm just sitting and watching videos, and sometimes I look at the market, and sometimes I don't.
Are you like taking a break still, or are you just not seeing anything that catches your eye?
I'm seeing things that catch my eye. I'm just not feeling the urgency to be making trades. I hit a point education wise where I started seeing how much I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, I want to finish this stuff before I develop a really real solid trading strategy on paper and then start to play it. And then we had that interview with George and he was like, you know, Dan, based on your personality and what you like to do, you could probably do all that doing futures with a solid trading strategy. So I've started the futures course.
I did too.
And I'm trying not to like I'm trying to focus on that. So like, I don't know. And it's been easier for me because of my work schedule. I don't have to try and do stocks while I'm at work, and the futures market is open so many hours of the day that
all of them. basically, except for the weekend.
I could start playing in the evenings and talking about that. I guess I feel a little guilty for the show that I've been doing so little, but I think it's been good for my peace of mind, not stressing myself out.
I mean, we've been talking about overtrading as kind of our theme, that the biggest mistake that we've been doing. I mean, I took a big step back this week also. I made a conscious effort to not trade nearly as much.
That's right, folks. You tune into the podcast show telling you about how little we trade.
Well, we're losing less this week.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I still lost.
Theta burned through some of my options positions this week, for sure.
I had two positions that were still open. I had Bristol-Myers and Johnson & Johnson. I closed out my Bristol-Myers ones for a big loss.
Mm.
I held the Johnson & Johnsons because they still look like they had potential, and they actually ended up closing this last week up over 176.
Nice.
So I thought real long and hard about just closing them out and just cashing, getting maybe a slight profit on Friday, but I figured, what the fuck? Give them another week. They got another week to run. I'll see what happens Monday. Make a decision then.
Yeah.
Probably a bad move. Probably was.
Probably. Wait, do those expire in September?
No, those are the 820s. I closed out the September ones. I did that probably completely backwards. I didn't like having both of them open, to be honest with you, because, you know, they're kind of the same company, right? Bristol-Myers and Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
Like, why would I bet on the same industry?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. I'll never forget it till the day I die. I was searching through stock charts, and I saw Marriott and Hilton.
Yeah.
And I was looking at them both on the weekly, and I was like, wait a minute. I put them side by side. And it, Kyle, I mean, different levels, but the same chart action. Like, the week Marriott went up, it was the same week Hilton went up, and they went up about the same amount, percentage-wise.
Did they go up at the same time, or was one leading and lagging?
I didn't dive in that. I think it was they took turns leading.
That's useful information, because you could use that to make catch up plays. Like, I haven't looked at Procter & Gamble for a little bit. I ended up closing out my position in them when they were approaching their all time high a couple weeks ago, or maybe a month ago. But with Johnson & Johnson pushing new highs, if Procter & Gamble isn't yet, I don't know, maybe. May still be room to jump in on Procter & Gamble and try to play a catch-up play if it's still lagging it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah?
Yeah, if they're the same industry and the same business, and they're pretty similar as far as, like, how the companies run, they're both blue chips.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, there's opportunity there if one's jumping and the other one's kind of waiting. So the two positions I closed out last week, I closed out the BMY, like I said, and the reason why I closed that one out is it dropped out of the ascending triangle pattern. The line that I'd been holding as support, it turned into resistance. So it felt like it was time to cut my losses on that. I probably could have waited a little bit to see if it retested that line, but I don't like drops to try to play a retest like that, because fear is three times stronger than greed, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then I also got stopped out of Vail, which is really annoying. That one stopped me out Monday morning at $20.61. So I didn't even get my stop limit price. It gapped down below that.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I had a chance to sell that because I was watching it in pre-market, and I was like, yeah, this is not looking good. I should have just closed it out in pre-market because I could have gotten closer to like $20.80. I could have saved about 20 cents the share on that. And instead, I was like, let's see where this goes.
I wonder if anybody you knew said that they would be more comfortable buying in at Vail around 20.
You did. You did say that. But I was... My plan was that if it dropped below that 2070, I was going to cash out and then jump back in it closer to 20.
Around 20. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Are you looking to get back in closer to 20?
I was actually looking at it as a shorting around 21. When it came back up and retested that, I was looking at $20.50 puts for 820 just to see. I didn't make any more trades, but I was definitely watching them to see how they would have worked out. My instinct was telling me that once it retested that 21 line to short it, I think it would have done pretty much nothing. Let's see, where's it at? It would have worked. Let me get on the 1 day. 8, 9. Yeah, so like it came back up the next day like 21.35, and then it's back down to 20.64 now.
Damn. So it would have worked.
Yeah, looks like it would have.
There is a lot of value in watching a stock and knowing where it's channeling.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, and that's what I've been spending most of my time between watching the futures lessons. I started doing those too. It was just some of these stocks that I've been watching. I've been trying to just get more screen time with them so that way I can see how they move, how they react. Oh, yeah, I did have one other move. I bought AMC shares at 33.25 average.
I bought AMC shares in Jen's account. She gave me the green light, and I bought them at $30.63.
I bought these ones earlier in the week. I did it in two lots. I bought it at 33.50 and 33, mm-hmm. and then it promptly dropped down to 30 again. Like, I probably should be spreading out those purchase prices a little bit more, but I felt like after watching everything that Bam's been saying about AMC, BlackBerry, GME, he's been super bullish on all these for basically through September now. It looks like strength coming up again in Thanksgiving time frame.
Yeah.
And then huge strength in February.
All right. Shall we move on and talk about some earnings?
Yeah, sure.
My motto's always been, when I'm right, it's right. So I'll wait and watch the charts and the change in price. When the movement's mostly finished at the end of the day, and we know the coming earnings gonna move it my way. Skyrockets in sight, earnings call delight. Earnings call delight.
All right. On the 16th, we've got Roblox. I can never remember how to say that. RBLX. Riot Blockchain, RIOT. On the 17th, we've got Walmart and Home Depot. On the 18th, we've got Nvidia, Target, Lowe's, Cisco, CSCO, and Robinhood, which is kind of strange that Robinhood would have earnings so shortly after their IPO. But I guess,
that is crazy.
Yeah, that seems a little weird, doesn't it? Let's see. On the 19th, we've got Ubiquity, Farfetch, FTCH, Ross, R-O-S-T, I don't remember what that is. Kohl's, I think, K-S-S, and Macy's. Yeah, Kohl's. Also, by the way, did you see that thing about NVIDIA? They did something where they basically generated their CEO using their graphics cards.
CGI CEO given his earnings call, they did their report. Yeah, I did see that. That was crazy.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, last on the Friday, we've got John Deere, DE, and Foot Locker, FL. And then it's going to be slowing down again. That's pretty much the tail end of earnings season.
Oh, they always feel like they last so long.
Well, I'm kind of glad that we're through it, because I'd like to start trying to do some longer options plays and not have to worry about fucking increased volatility due to the earnings coming up.
Yeah, well, I don't have any consecutive data for you because I didn't do my homework. That's a lazy motherfucker.
Jesus, but Dan, you're not trading, you're not doing anything.
Yeah, I'm in a bit of a funk in my life right now, but that's nothing to do with the show. Looking at Fridays, I can tell you Adobe's back on the list. Adobe's breaking into new highs again.
I saw Sonos was doing well.
They may have been doing well during the week.
Was Johnson & Johnson on there or Capital One? Capital One should have been on there.
Both are on the list. Johnson & Johnson. Nice. Capital One hit new 52-week highs on Friday.
They were hitting new ones every day of the week, it seemed like.
Yeah. Cisco Systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was seeing they were doing well.
Dillard's, Discover Financial. We got all these hit new highs on Friday. GlaxoSmithKline.
Mm-hmm.
Intuit. Back on the list, Microsoft, Motorola, Philip Morris, Papa John's Pizza.
What? Philip Morris?
Philip Morris.
Oh, I wonder if their highs.
They broke 100. They're at 101.59 a share.
Oh, that's okay. I thought that's Altrera Group. MO.
No. That's PM, a different one. Philip Morris. Yeah. Yeah. Papa John's Pizza.
Oh, good. Well, MO should. MO is not anywhere near its high. It's about $5 away from its. There may be a catch-up play in there, too.
Absolutely. Tyson Foods, WePro, and Yum Brands. Yum Brands.
Again.
They're up to $134.96.
Oh, you know what else I saw was running pretty nicely, too? It looked like Target.
Yeah, Target had a decent week.
So that means BlackBerry should do well this week.
I think so. I think it's due. It's the gambler in me, Kyle. It tells me it's due.
Well, it's the week after you picked it, so it should be good.
Yeah, yeah. All I have to do is not pick it this week.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some crypto.
Yeah, let's do that.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. I know you need. You need that Bitcoin, either NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
Okay, well, I don't know if you're like me, but I was following along reading a lot of stuff about the hacker that stole $600 million from the Poly Network.
Oh, yes.
There was a software vulnerability in Poly Network, and the hacker managed to drain $600 million in crypto assets, according to the Chinese blockchain company, who then offered them a $500,000 reward for discovering the weakness.
That's, wait, did they get their money back?
The hacker has started transferring money back to them, at least about half of it, about 280, 290 million have been transferred back.
So, wait, how is that incentive for them? Do they get the half? Well, I guess you get the half a million and no jail time. If you give it all back, yeah, that might be a decent, especially in China. Okay, yeah, that's probably a good deal.
So the company themselves, let me read some quotes from what they said. This was them communicating to the hacker.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you sharing your experience and believe your action constitutes white hat behavior. Since we believe your action is white hat behavior, we plan to offer you a $500,000 bug bounty after you complete the refund fully. So that was something the thief released and said that was how they had communicated to him.
Okay.
I don't know. Apparently the thief says he's not accepting the bounty.
He's just keeping half the $600 million.
Right. No, apparently this guy's still going to send it back.
Oh.
He does claim to be a white hat hacker who is known in the from a non-native English speaker. He says he did it not for the money, but for the fun and to raise awareness in the hole in their security. So, you know those DeFi automatic transactions that we talked about with Alex Greengard and Ed from DeChained?
Yeah.
He, in the Poly Network, this hacker found a vulnerability and was able to use all those automatic transactions, was able to step in and siphon the money out.
Is that like that Superman 3?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Did a Superman 3. Richard Pryor would be proud.
So he had $600 million.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving it all back. I can understand that, because obviously that's that kind of theft you can't really get away with. They will find you and you steal $600 million. But he's not taking the bounty either?
Yeah, according to this news article.
Is this what Jack Ma's doing with his free time now?
It's like, I'm bored. I'm going to steal $600 million. No, that was fun. Let me give it back.
Yeah.
Well, here's the crazy thing is you can't spend it because it's all like... Every coin has its individual coin identity.
Right, yeah, so they'll know that they're gone.
So as soon as it was siphoned, they knew which coins were missing and sent out the list. So any other exchange is going to be like, oh, this is one of those stolen bills. This is one of them stolen coins. So, like, you may have them, but you can only use them in private transactions. And then if that fucker, if you have a private transaction, the person who got it from you, they can't put it on an exchange. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It blacklists the money. Oh my God. I wonder if you could cause Bitcoin deflation.
Oh, but that's kind of scary right now, right? At least if I steal $100 from my wife or my mom,
yeah,
I can still spend it. Nobody knows. Like, wow, is crypto a lot more Big Brother than we thought it was?
Holy shit. I think so.
Wow.
I think so. Ah. Wow, that's stunning realization live on air. My brain, mind was just blown right now.
before we wrap up crypto, I had a little quick story. Yes.
Speaking of Big Brother, is Kyle, anything else in crypto?
So part of the infrastructure bill was that they're trying to basically tax crypto, like they're trying to figure out a way to somehow collect the government's cut. Yeah, speaking of Big Brother. I was looking at what the actual term in that provision is on that infrastructure bill, and it's actually kind of terrifying too. So basically, it's saying that any entity that facilitates a crypto transaction on behalf of another person is going to be treated as a broker, which would mean that that entity would have to file specific tax information reports that would include know your customer details.
Yeah.
So this could also include like the miners or network validators or hardware developers, like people who don't have that kind of information. Like this could turn into a huge mess.
Mm-hmm.
If it passes the way it stands. Now, there are people trying to change that provision or at least amend it to narrow that scope. Be interested to see where that goes. This is already passed under the Senate.
Oh, wow.
I think the Senate tried to make a change, but they blocked it. So it'll be up to the House to try to fix this.
We know that there's one thing American government can do in the legislative process is fix things right. I have high confidence that the members of the House of Representatives will get to the bottom of this. They'll know what crypto is. They'll understand it. Well, good luck, crypto fans. Yep. Shit's about to get crazy. If that passes.
Oh. If that passes, that would be, I don't know. It'd have to get challenged, I would think. I can't imagine that would stand up.
Can you short a Bitcoin?
Yeah, you can short Grayscale, I think, or one of the trusts. I think some exchanges offer actual calls and put options, too, but you have to use Bitcoin to buy them.
I'm going to use U.S. dollars to short the U.S. dollar.
I mean, that's how that works.
Yeah, but what I mean is if I want to borrow dollars to sell, I would need dollars to pay for the dollars to sell.
No. I don't know if you can actually physically short it. I think you can, but you can buy put contracts that basically allow you to sell it.
Gotcha. All right.
But you'd have to still buy it. I'm sure that would just be a cash settled transaction.
Well, either way you slice it, it's time to slap iron, motherfucker.
Ooh.
Pew pew. Pew pew.
Pew pew.
Golly, I felt like I didn't do anything this week, good, bad, or ugly. I was just a blob. The good thing was I did start the futures videos, and I did manage to set up the very beginnings of my account to simulate trade futures before I put the money in.
Well, we can't simulate until we get it funded, and that's turning out to be a bit of a pain in the ass. So I got my account open too.
Were you able to get it funded?
I tried to do an ACH, but there's nowhere on there to put my account. I can only put their account, and I feel like that's an important step in that process. I don't want to just send them $5,000 and be like, "Here you go."
Wow. Wait. So.
So yeah, I'm probably gonna have to do a wire, which means I'll probably have to call the bank unless I can do it through Bank of America because my other bank didn't have that option on there.
Okay. Yeah.
Without calling them. I was trying to do it all. I wanted to just click on a computer and make it go there. All the money's electronic anyway. It shouldn't be that fucking hard.
You would think.
Yeah. But that was my good, too. My focus was on learning last week.
Yeah. Lots of crazy stuff to learn. I feel like Futures is its own podcast, though. I'm scared.
I was really excited. Did you get to the part about the range charts?
No, but I did turn on the range charts in TradingView and was playing with it.
I mean, I fucking love those charts. If you want to actually see the structure that much clearer, yeah, try using one of those range charts where you say, give me a new bar anytime the price moves by a certain amount of ticks, price ticks.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gets rid of all that consolidation noise. And you just you can really see the structure of whatever the move is really clearly.
The peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was using it to look at stocks, too. I don't know why we aren't using this to look at stocks. In fact, I think I'm going to start making that part of my toolkit.
So if I was looking at charts for swing trades, what kind of ranges would I be needing to look at? Like a 10 tick, a 100 tick?
I mean, it depends on how. I mean, you use the tick setting to kind of drill down like you do with your 1 hour, 5 minute, 1 minute.
Okay.
So you can use 10 tick as like your closest look, and then go 25 tick to back out a little further and go all the way back out to like 100 to get like a real broad view. But yeah,
I see. Oh, I'll have to play with that. That sounds really interesting.
You should, because it just looks so much clearer. Like, throw Capital One on there and then just throw it on a 25 tick chart and see the difference.
Well, I feel like we'll need to do a deep dive into tick charts on next week's episode.
I'll probably have to look a little closer at them, yeah. I just started playing with them this week.
Yeah, help all the listeners out there understand this new incredible tool that you're discovering.
Anyway, did you have a bad?
Yeah, I should have peeled off some of my BlackBerry options like George had suggested. I should have done it at the beginning of the week, and I didn't.
Oh, yeah, I didn't do that either. I probably should have done that, too. My bad was not closing out Vail in pre-market.
Yeah, you have that fucking plan.
Well, looking at it, you know what it's going to do, and then you just, I could be wrong.
Okay, so we are on the same page, because that's what will happen to me. I'll, like, sit down, I'll have the plan in my head, and then, like, when I'm watching the chart live,
yeah,
I start to think, like, oh, well
it's going back up now.
Who knows what it's going to do?
And I can hear George in my head in one of those lessons where, like, okay, guy, when you're going through the psychology of, like, the cycle, mm-hmm. Well, why would I sell there? It's going up now.
Exactly.
Well, and then it goes back down, and you're like, well, fuck, if it just gets back to here, then I'll sell. Then it gets back to there, and you're like, well, why would I sell? It's going up.
It's going up.
I can feel myself doing it, and I can't stop myself still.
or for me, why would I sell now? It's still going down. It'll turn around eventually, and then I'll sell when it goes up.
I'll sell it on the bounce.
On the bounce.
Now it's recovering. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get locked into that hold pattern.
Yeah.
Which, if it shares, is one thing, but if it's options.
Yeah, and then you're just holding into nothing.
That only ends in pain.
What did George say? Like, they even tell you when they're going to be worthless?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Oh, man. Ah,
futures zone. Can't wait to try that out.
Yeah. And I am taking it seriously in terms of doing the simulated futures trading. Like, the paper trading?
Yep, that's my plan, too. I want to actually do the paper trading. I tried to set it up on TradingView, but you need the live data in order to paper trade futures on them. I thought about just trying to set up my TD Ameritrade account to let me do it, but I would much rather use the same tools that they are, because they have a lot of different things that they give you, like libraries to plug into Sierra Charts.
Yeah, and Sierra Charts stopped linking with Ameritrade apparently like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I'd like to keep everything the same if I could, the same that they're using.
Yep, so ugly for me would probably be devoting my time to education, but still finding lots of procrastination excuses to not watch my videos and do my education.
Yeah, that's not good.
Every opportunity, I was like, okay, I'm sitting down, I'm going to finish this next video. And then, like, something would pop up on my phone and be like, or do this new thing, yeah!
You almost have to turn everything off.
Yeah. I really do. That's what I should start doing. Yeah. Turning my phone off. I have a 1 to 2 hours a day.
I mean, if you're in an actual classroom, I mean, that's what they want you to do, right?
That's true.
Put your phone on silent, put it away. Don't disrupt the class.
Don't disrupt the class. Well, I guess that's what I have to do. What was your ugly, Kyle?
I mean, I had the missed opportunities on trying to trade Capital One. Mm-hmm. I had multiple chances to try it, but that doesn't feel like an ugly. That feels more like a bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider anything you did ugly this week other than, well, no, I would say holding the options, the 820s, not selling them. You turned it into a weekly.
I did. Yeah, I did.
I don't think that's a great move.
Probably not. Yeah, I think Monday morning is going to have to be when I get out of those, because then you at least get that spread. It gets a little unpredictable, and usually they're overinflated in the mornings as opposed to the end of the day. I think that's part of what went to my decision, too.
Yeah, well, what? Just so I can buy these the moment you sell them, what's the strike price?
It's 175 and 820. But it's trading above 176 right now, so at least it has some intrinsic value. That's why I felt a little more comfortable holding them.
Yeah, fair enough.
But a lot can happen between Friday and Monday. Also, volume is ticking up.
Okay, let's start talking about a new bet. Yeah, I'm really anxious to hit a home run this week.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you get to go first. So have you figured out what you're going to do?
No.
I was going to say, I have a lot of those shares, too. I'd rather you didn't ruin that one this week, too.
I'm just faking you out personally. And maybe with the exception of the people who remembered, who follow my Twitter and remembered the AMC. Buy AMC video. Yeah. No, I'm gonna follow George. I'm gonna pick the SPXS this week.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's interesting.
Yeah. I'm reading this about the market being euphoric. I'm seeing that S&P continue to hit highs, and I'm going, maybe this is the week it turns around a little bit.
I mean, what are the futures priced at right now?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far in the course.
I'm saying they give you a little peek into what's going to happen.
Well, what the traders think is going to happen.
All right. Let's see. I got three here on my list that I choose from. I like Comcast right now. CMCSA. They just broke. Goddamn, where's my chart? They just broke above the line I had drawn at 58.62 the last couple days, but. Don't like where the volume's at on that, so I'm not sure that I'm buying that yet. Plus, it's a real slow mover. You're probably talking about maybe getting $1 out of it. That's also a positive, though, because that means I shouldn't lose a whole lot if it goes terribly wrong. the other one I'm looking at that I like is Palantir. It just jumped over that 22.31 mark, and then I got another line drawn around 24.50 that it just crossed above, 24.30.
Yeah.
They had some great earnings, but kind of selling off right now. I think that if you look at the hourly, it's got a real nice flag pattern, like a real nice pennant that it's drawn up.
They did just have that huge fucking earnings, and then, yeah, I'm looking at it. So it's like a pennant consolidating after the earnings boost.
Yep.
Okay.
And I kind of like that one. I kind of like that one because I think it could run up to 27.50, somewhere in that range. If I was to buy it, I'd probably take profits at that range and move my trail up to 26.50 if I was going to do that. And the other one, the last one I'm looking at, which, because you went short, now I'm wondering if I should jump with this one. I was looking at Marriott, actually.
Oh.
Marriott is flirting with the support line. It's in this triangle pattern, but it keeps knocking against this 134.50 line. And I think if it drops below that, we could see it run down to 127, 128, probably around 128. Which, if I was going to play that, I would want to short it there, and I'd want to buy it back if it hit that 128 mark, and then ride it back up, because there is some solid volume coming in buying it at that point.
Well, which are you going to pick?
God damn, I don't know. Probably just make it simple and go with Palantir.
I like it. I do like it. I don't want to encourage you or anything. the way that it popped up and it found that support right around 24.44, like looking at the volume profile, like it really clanged into that support. Now it's consolidating.
Yep. So yeah, I'll put a stop loss at 24 on that. So that'll give me plenty of room on that flag pattern or that pennant. And then, like I said, I want to sell half of it if it hits 27.50-ish, we'll say, 27.50. If it hits that, I'll take half, and then I'll move my stop loss up to 26.50 if that happens.
Okay, so you got a stop loss below at 24, and then you're going to sell half at 27.50.
Yep.
Okay, Mr. Complex, I'm just buying and holding.
And then if it does sell half at 27.50, then I'm moving a stop loss down, or up to 26.50.
Okay, that's written down. That's set in stone. You cannot change that.
Never.
All right, are we ready to get a random?
Yeah, let me pull the thing up, cut out the dice rolls. All right, give me a 1 through 3 number.
2.
Did we say we're not doing Amex?
Yeah.
What was the ASX? Oh. Okay, 2 is New York Stock. Well, we're doing 1 or 2. We're doing 1 or 2.
Okay, so yeah. I'm going to do odds or evens.
You gave me a 2.
Okay. I've rolled a 2 again. So.
Okay. So, New York Stock Exchange, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
12. Ooh, 1.
Finance. New York Stock Exchange, finance.
Oh, goddammit.
CS. Credit Suisse.
Okay. Credit Suisse.
Credit Suisse. Credit Suisse.
They're suffering because of that crazy scandal still, aren't they?
Yeah, with the company I used to work for.
Yep.
Okay, this is not a good week for random.
Good. Yeah, they just had earnings. Mm. Oh, there you have it. I have nobly picked with great reverence the triple leverage S&P Bear Fund SOXS. Kyle coming in hot with PLTR, and Random gets CS. Stay tuned to next week, and we'll find out who's the biggest loser. probably me. Yeah, what are we doing?
I think it's time to end.
So that's going to bring us to the end of the episode. We really appreciate you sticking around, having a good time with us. Stay tuned. We will be coming back at you soon. And until then, like, share, subscribe, give us a phone call, and happy trades.
Bye.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.
As a major research institution, Arizona State University offers the most online bachelor's degree programs, along with world-class faculty and dedicated support. Discover why ASU is ranked number 1 in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Tap to learn more.